I want to go to the book of Genesis in the 15th chapter. And I want to speak a little while this morning on Abraham. You know, I know that the word says that when the, you know, Isaiah says it, when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And I think that standard is the Holy Spirit. And we need to pray one for another. And I know that you do and we do. And lift each other up in prayer. This is a very trying time that we're living in. I can only tell you this. There's a saying that says it's darkest before the day or the morning comes. It's the darkest. But you know what? The morning's coming. And I'll tell you, there is nothing that can hold back the power of the Holy Spirit as he begins his work upon this earth. And I know that the saints of God have been tested and tried. And yet the Lord is coming forth victorious. You know, in our weakness is where we find our strength. Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. It would seem like it would be the opposite to so many. This is what they think. But let me tell you that in your weakness, this draws you to God. It drives you to prayer. And you realize that you need him more than you need anything. And when you don't have the strength and power on your own, sometimes, you know, we go to the very end of our strength. We're so strong in ourselves, we may not realize it sometimes. But we're so strong in ourselves that the last thing that we do is call upon the Lord. But when we call upon the Lord, he will answer. He will hear you when you pray. He knows everything about you. There's one thing about God. He does know. He absolutely knows everything about you. And he knows our limits, our limitations. He said he would not put anything more upon us than what we could bear. And sometimes you say, well, Lord, just how much are we... how much can we bear? And you've come to the end of your rope sometimes when you thought, well, I can't handle any more. But yet you find that you can handle more because of his strength, because he carries you. When you stop walking, he picks you up and he carries you. This is how God operates and this is how he works. And we've come into a time now, into a season that we're going to see God begin to move as he's never moved before. We are coming into a season, and this is why there is so much adversity. And this is why when you look around the world, it's not just with Grace Assembly. It's not just with other churches and saints, but I believe that it's worldwide, and I believe that Lucifer knows the times. He certainly knows the day that we're standing on. Many Christians today will not acknowledge the day of the Lord or the day that we're standing on. But Satan knows that day, and he knows the scriptures. But I'll tell you this, that the Holy Ghost is going to open up the Word of God to give understanding as he has never given understanding before. Sometimes in our own minds, we have blocks up here. We have things up here that prevent us in doing so much. But I want you to know this, that the Holy Spirit knows no bounds. He's able to penetrate even your heart, my heart, your mind, my mind. He's able to do that. This is the power of God, and it's the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is the dimension that we are coming into. The reason that we have come face to face with the darkness and the dark powers of this world, the rulers of the darkness of this world, is because Satan knows that God is going to begin in this new dispensation, in this new season, that he's going to begin to move, and Satan will be powerless to be able to withstand him. Let me say that when God begins to move, and when he's moving, there is no power on earth that is equal to God's power, and he has promised already that he's going to move through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We don't, sometimes our minds cannot grasp the power of the Holy Spirit. If your mind can grasp Genesis 1, and you can find out that when God said, let there be light, there was light that came and lighted this whole earth. It was the light of God. He brought that light, and he hovered over this world, and he refreshed it. He made it anew, and in 6 days he did his work. On the seventh day he rested. Well, spiritually, you and I have entered into that seventh day of rest. We have entered into the time when God ended his work. And God said in the, I think it's the 11th chapter of the book of Romans, we have come into this short work. So God is doing a short work today. Doing a short work on this earth. And he is going to absolutely... His plan, his purpose is going to be accomplished. And I believe that, you know, you and I, as we stand in our weakened state, that we are going to stand back and we are going to begin to be in awe of what God is doing. And now, right now, we stand here and you say, really? Really? Is it so? Well, let me tell you, we're going to stand in that place, and then God is going to put his power on display. It's not, God is not going to cause a man to lead this revival. It's going to be a personality-less revival. It's going to be a revival of the Holy Ghost. And we're going to be led by the Spirit of God. And the church is going to know that the Spirit of God is in control and that he is in charge. It's going to be the Spirit of God that's going to be brought to the forefront. And he's going to lead his people as they simply follow him. Remember the instructions that Mary gave to those when they ran out of wine and that they needed wine. And Jesus told them, he said, fill those pots full of water. And the mother of Jesus knew him. She knew him enough to know that she said, well, that was an impossibility to them. They said, what is he talking about with water? They want wine. And she said, whatever he says unto you to do, then do it. Because she knew that he knew and that he was a force to be reckoned with. She knew her son, and he had begun his ministry, and she had raised him. Her and Joseph had raised him from birth, and they knew he was a special child, and they also knew that the power of the Holy Spirit was upon him. And Mary experienced that more than anyone else, because he was conceived in her womb through the power of the Holy Ghost. All she did was provide the vessel. The scriptures say, Hail Mary. We always associate with the Catholic Church, but they said, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with you. And this was the message that came with her. She was a chosen vessel of the Lord to carry this child. God had prepared already a body that was going to be brought forth. And she carried that body, that infant. She carried that seed, the seed of the woman and the Holy Spirit. She carried that seed in her womb and brought him forth. And he became a man. He was a God-man. This is the miracle of salvation. And this is what God is able to do. God is a God of miracles. I think it was Catherine Kuhlman that said, I believe in God because I believe in miracles. And let me say that he is a God of miracles. You look at the prophets of old as they ministered before the Lord. There was nothing but miracle after miracle when God ministered for them. If you look at Elijah and Elisha and look at all of the prophets, how they ministered, they did things that seemingly no one could understand. But I was thinking of these prophets and these men of God. They knew who God was. And they had learned to follow instructions. And so you and I are coming into a place now. And this is hard. I say it's hard because we have our own ideas, our own preconceived ideas. about everything. And but let me tell you, God is working now, and just prepare your hearts for what God is doing, because it's going. For a new thing will I do upon this earth, and a new thing will I bring forth under the power of the Holy Ghost. Prepare yourselves, prepare your hearts, for yea, I am coming down unto thee, and my spirit will work. My spirit will go here, my spirit will go there. Yea, I will work a work at a time that you have never seen before. From this time, for the Holy Spirit will work His work. You and I don't get in His way. Let me tell you, I feel led to say this. Don't get in His way. Whatever He says unto you, do it. Get rid of your preconceived notions. Get rid of your preconceived ideas. Prepare your hearts. And let your speech be seasoned with grace. Be able to minister to the people that God sends you to, and to do the things that He calls you to do. And many will come to the Lord and come to know Him because of your obedience unto Him. And He will be the one that leads. And remember the Holy Spirit. Jesus, before He left, He described to His disciples and told them, He said, I'm not going to be with you much longer. But He said, but I'm going to send a comforter for you. And that He's going to walk beside you, and He's going to lead you and guide you. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. And He's going to be your comforter. He will be everything to you. And all that you have to do is call upon Him. And when you need Him, call upon Him. God is causing us as a body, as an assembly, and He's causing the church to reach out to Him because we are a needy people. He has placed us in these positions. He has put us in positions of weakness. We didn't ask for this. You didn't ask. You didn't volunteer to go into a place of weakness. Paul didn't volunteer for that place that he was brought into. If you've ever read of the perils of Pauline, you'll know he wouldn't have walked into those things voluntarily. We don't walk into these things voluntarily. We're led into those things. Jesus, before He began His ministry, He was driven into the wilderness, and He was there to be tested because the Spirit, have you ever noticed it said that the Spirit drove Him into the wilderness? He drove Him there. And you know, that was where I think that God accomplished a number of things. You know, this, remember, this was the second Adam that had come, and he was in the wilderness. Remember, the first Adam fell in the garden under perfect conditions, and he was in a paradise all his own, but he fell. Satan came, and he twisted the word of God. And he said to Eve, he said, "Hath God said?" Well, God did say, but Satan has a way of bringing a connotation to a phrase or taking the word of God and twisting it and taking it out of context or what have you. The word is his worst enemy, because the word will never, ever lie to you. It is, the word of God is sure and amen. We have the more sure word of prophecy that we have as a people of God. And when Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted of the devil, he was led there by the Holy Spirit. I know this may be hard to swallow. It took me a while. And sometimes you say, God, why has these things happened? But all you can do is say, Lord, I know that you're in control, and I know that your purposes and you are higher than we are. Your ways are higher than our ways. And let me say that his ways are much higher than ours. And all he asks of us is that we follow him. He doesn't ask a lot, but he's He's leading us and he's teaching us to lean upon him, lean upon the one that you are walking beside. Talk to him, talk to God, speak to him, have fellowship with him, get to know him, who he is. Don't make him a stranger in your own house, in your dwelling. Speak to the Lord and call upon him in your time of need. And do you know he will answer you? And Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted. Satan came. And you know, we heard several lessons on that same subject. But Satan was tempting the Lord. Do you know if Jesus had fallen, the whole Godhead would have fallen. But Satan realized this. This wasn't Adam in the Garden of Eden. This was the second Adam, who was the Lord from heaven. And this one, he could not overcome. But I'll tell you, he realized then that he has lost the war. He may win a few battles, perhaps, if you can really say that. But let me tell you, he has lost the war. And when Jesus came up from the grave, from resurrection, he knew absolutely that he had lost. Because when Jesus came up, it said that he led captivity captive. Now, mind you, Satan himself, he knew that paradise was in the center of the earth. He also knew that Hades was in the earth, in the center of the earth. There was a great gulf between the two of them. You couldn't pass from one to the other. And he very well knew this. But when he saw all of those Old Testament saints as they were led out of paradise and they were brought from paradise, and he led captivity captive, and he marched them, led them right through the atmosphere, right into Satan's domain, and he took them to heaven. Do you know paradise now is in heaven? He brought it there. He lifted them out of that place. He's going to lift us out of this place. We have a great hope, a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember this, that we are in the very last days and we are awaiting now. Remember, there is the rapture of the church is about to take place. It's not going to be a long time. We have come according to the scriptures as we stand on the seventh day. We are awaiting something very great. But what God is doing is he is speaking to his church today. And judgment, remember, Peter said that judgment must first begin at the house of God. Do you know that Peter understood a lot more than we give him credit for? I know that the revelation was given to Paul, and he received it. And without that revelation, Peter would not have received his revelation. Because he come to understand what God was doing. And so Peter said that judgment must first begin at the house of God. So when you read Revelation, and remember in Revelation, when you read that book, John was standing on the day of the Lord when he read that. He was standing on the day that we are standing on today, right now. He was on that day. And if you look at the seven churches, there was a message to all seven churches. The Lord was speaking. You say the Lord was speaking in Revelation, and he was speaking in the first person. When you read Revelation and you see those red, if you have a red letter edition, it makes it easy for you. You can just look and see those were his words. The Lord was speaking to each church. He had something against him. He also had a commendation for him. God's people, you know, you and I have this sin's nature still. He's still there. He's made a provision for us to overcome it. But we still have that. But Jesus spoke to his church, and he had a commendation for them. And he had also had something against them, except for the overcoming company. And he had nothing against them. There's nothing recorded. And if you look at that church, the Philadelphia church, they received the highest honors, the highest rewards. He had nothing against them. They were the guardians, and you've studied that. They were the guardians of God's word. They knew that they were in weakness, but yet they were strong. So God is moving among the church today. So our Lord overcame Satan. And what God was doing was with our Lord Jesus Christ as he began his ministry. And I want to say that, you know, Jesus didn't, I know he didn't receive the opposition that he received that's recorded, you know, in the four Gospels. He didn't receive that. Well, I shouldn't say he didn't. I don't know. The scriptures aren't. But when he grew up, he was in Nazareth, and he came up to the time of when he was 30 years old to begin his ministry. I don't believe Satan probably knew who he was, perhaps, or where he was. But I don't think that he did not receive the trials that he received in his ministry. And so as soon as he revealed himself, as soon as he stood up and read Isaiah, he said, "This day is this scripture revealed to you." And he was in the synagogue. And from that point on, they hated him. In fact, they wanted to kill him right then and there. And he said, "This scripture is fulfilled in your ears." He proclaimed right there that he was the Son of God. And under the law, and you know, they claiming to be God was blasphemous, and you would be stoned and put to death for it, except that they should have been looking for him and knowing that he was coming. They should have known the times. They had the scriptures in Daniel, and they had all of these things, the scribes, they transcribed the word of God. They should have known who this was, this Messiah, and where he was born and where he grew up. There was an awful lot to know about him. And when he marched through Jerusalem and they strewed palm leaves before him and welcomed him, there was a crowd to welcome him as their king, as their Messiah. And such as that was, yet he was honored to march through Jerusalem as their king, but they rejected him. So our Lord was put to death, and on the cross of Calvary, he was put to death for our sins. And I want to say, in fact, well, I didn't intend to start this way this morning, but I want to read something to you from the book of Romans, talking about the Lord and his resurrection. And I believe it's Romans about the fourth chapter. Maybe I can paraphrase it, but the scripture said that he was put to death for our transgressions, for our sins, but he was raised again for our justification. And do you know that had he not been raised up, had he not come up from the grave, you and I would not be justified. And that's why the resurrection is so important. That's why I believe that the enemy fights the doctrine of the rapture of the church and the catching away and the resurrection of the dead. You know, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Paul was speaking concerning the end days and the end time where we're at right now. And speaking of those times, he said that the dead in Christ would rise first, and then we which were alive and remain would be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so how soon before we're caught out of here are the saints that are resurrected out of their graves? How soon? I don't know. It doesn't say. But I want to say this, that the resurrection is something that Lucifer fears. And he understands that in the resurrection lies the power of God. Paul wanted to know Christ in the power of his resurrection. Let me tell you, that was powerful. God is a powerful God. And as he moves, you know, it's all done by the operation of the Holy Spirit. When the disciples received the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, it was through the power of the Holy Ghost. His power was on display. And it was then that the church, the body of Christ, was formed on the day of Pentecost. The body of Christ didn't just appear. You weren't in the body because maybe you believed in Christ. There had to be a specific time when the body of Christ was formed. And that time was on the day of Pentecost, when the body of Christ took shape. It took form. The body of Christ was formed on the day of Pentecost through the power of the Holy Ghost. There was no body of Christ as such. But now Satan realizes this, that he has to contend with every believer. That's why he tries to keep you bottled, boxed in, bottled in or whatever. Because let me tell you, you are a very powerful tool to operate against him. And he knows that. He hates you because Christ is in you. And one thing that he fears most is a saint. I will say that reads his Bible and is full of the knowledge of the Word of God, and a saint that is on his knees praying, and especially a saint that is on his knees praying in the Holy Spirit. Because as you pray in the Holy Spirit, you are touching the throne room of God. Those prayers are, you are bombarding heaven. And let me say that, yes, God takes notice of that. He knows, he sees, as he saw Daniel when Daniel was praying before the Lord. When Daniel approached the Lord, he came before him in sackcloth and in ashes. And I looked that up in the Strong's, and the sackcloth, those were feed bags. And let me tell you, in ashes, things that were burned, Daniel was before God, and he was contrite in his spirit. And Daniel wanted to know. Daniel wanted some answers. And do you know, as he prayed, God heard him. And God answered him in a spectacular way. God answered him. He sent an angel. In fact, he sent Gabriel. Gabriel is the same angel. In the scriptures, he brings tidings. He brought tidings at the birth of John and told them that, that his name would be called John. And also he came to Mary and he announced the coming of the Messiah, and that Mary was going to carry this baby in her womb. And this was Gabriel. Well, God sent Gabriel to Daniel. And let me say that Satan is so afraid that there's going to be a Daniel, that a Daniel is going to come forth, because Satan had to contend with Daniel. And Daniel was one that stood in the gap. You are standing in a gap this morning. You are one of those that are standing before God. And let me say that it is Satan himself that fears you. And this is why he comes against you, to try to thwart what God's doing. This is what he does. You and I have entered into this time now when it's a new phase. It's a new time. And God is moving by his Spirit. And all I can say is just hang on. Somebody said, when you've come to the end of your rope, tie a knot on it and hang on. It's funny, but it's not funny. When you're in trial, that's no fun. But you know what? God leads us through, and the scriptures tell us all of the trials that Paul was brought into. And a question was asked in the scriptures, why do the righteous suffer? Well, I'll tell you, apparently God has something for you, because he allows, only Satan can only move when God allows him to move. Did you know that? So remember this, when things come your way, God has just simply lifted the hedge a little, but God allowed it. I know that that's, to some, they cannot figure that one out. Well, don't even try, but just look to him, because God is working. If he's working in your life, you're going to be the one that looks cut back. You're going to be the one that is in trial, while others seemingly are prospering and doing so well. God's working on you, and he's pruning you. Remember, we're the branches, he's the vine, and sometimes he prunes us back. But when he does the pruning on you, you know, if you've ever seen a grape vineyard, every year after the grapes are harvested, they take the vines and they start pruning them back. They get rid of those old stems, and then the next harvest that comes forth brings a much greater harvest. And so God is working in our lives in this manner. And I could go on this morning, but I won't. It's not the message that I had intended to minister. I was up last night and I said, Lord, where are you? Always I get before the Lord and a message doesn't just drop into my heart the night before Sunday, but during the week. And if you're a minister of the gospel, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Messages come, the Spirit of God moves, you read the Word of God, and things come to you. And I said, Lord, where are you? I don't feel that annoyed. I don't feel anything. Where are you? I had to get a hold of him. But I did have a message to deliver this morning. I said, well, okay, Lord, this is it. I didn't, but I never felt that unction on it. And that's because I didn't preach it. You know, God is moving today by his Spirit. We don't see it so much. But God has his hand upon each one of you this morning. And those watching in through live stream, God has his hand upon you, and he has not forgotten you. He has not forgotten any of us. But God is getting us ready for, when I say great things, I don't mean that you're going to be in the lights and the cameras and all that. Great things with God are different than great things sometimes of what the world sees. Gold and silver glitters. If you want all of that, there's all kinds of ministries and all. We have a ministry of the Word of God here at this assembly. And I apologize to no one for that. Because it's the foundation, it's the backbone of who God is. It's his solid, tried, and sure word of prophecy. It's the Word of God that will never fail. And you can mark it down. If it's in the Word of God, it will surely come to pass. Because my word is from my throne. It is my word that I have given to my people. And I will honor my word. My word is something very special that many today have made a light of and have done disrespect to. But my word is full of the anointing. It is my word. It's my word to my people and to the world. It's the Word of God to the people of this world. And do you know the church, and God loves his church. He loves all of his people. And there's a correction coming. And it's not going to be pleasant. But if you, as Paul said, if we judge ourselves now, then we won't be judged of him. So if you judge yourselves now, examine yourself. Judge yourselves now. Then the judgment will pass over and you'll go through that open door. You know, that open door of Revelation 4, all of the saints, every company of saints is going through that door. And some are going to go through, but the church will dip into some persecution. I know that the general feeling is among so many churches, they say, oh, you don't know the day, you don't know the hour, you don't know anything. All you know is that the whole church is going at one time. That's not so. Because Paul said that the resurrection would take place every man in his own order. That means every man is not going out at the same time. It means that there is an order, 1, 2, 3, 4, that is going out in their rank, in their company. So remember that. Seek the Lord with your whole heart. Hallelujah.